good to see those that are out. Probably one of the most sobering verses and scary or whatever term you want to use is over there in the book of Hebrews where it says, "For it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment." And we know that it's humanity's lot that our bodies just won't last forever. You know, if you're 100 years old or things of that nature, one side or the other, is what we say, that's really old. And I've kind of found myself, knowing some of my peer group that's younger than me, and some of them have already died. And it's kind of amazing to me. I said, well, they sure didn't live very long when they are younger than I am. But we know that one day that we're all going to face death. And then what's going to happen after that? The Bible says that we're going to have a judgment and that we're going to have to give an account for all the things that we have done, whether good or evil. Well, what's going to happen to us is what we've been discussing on these Wednesday night question and answer sessions. And we know that it's something that I have just really become familiar with over the past year or so, that what happens to our body, what's going to be like. And of course, we're given a lot of hints, but we're not given everything. But we know, as in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul says there, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait." This is the second coming. "For the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 21, "who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." And this is pretty comforting to be like Jesus. He has a glorious body. And and we read in Luke 24:39, where Jesus was resurrected and he appeared to his disciples there. And you know, they thought it was a ghost, or they thought it was his spirit. They didn't understand that because they had all seen him die and placed in that tomb. But Jesus says in Luke 24:39, "Behold my hands and my feet." Remember, he was nailed to that cross. He still had the scar. And Jesus says that it is I. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And so, it was the same Jesus. But, you know, it was one little different thing that we've talked about before. And Jesus says that he was flesh and bone. He wasn't flesh and blood like we are today. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. But flesh and bones definitely can, because the Spirit gives life to the body. Well, we know that that there is a transformation takes place. Jesus said that he's going to transform our lowly body to be like his. And what a comforting statement that is to me. And well, what is death? And we know that James 2:26 says, "The body without the spirit is dead." And so that gives us a clear definition of what death is. It is a separation from our body by our spirit. And we have some verses in the Bible that point this out and give situations where it took place, and I believe we can draw a necessary inference from these verses. 1 Kings 17, 21 and 22. This is Elijah here. And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him, or his spirit come back to him. Verse 22, then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. So we see something that was dead, and yet when the spirit came back to this body, it became alive. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, the dust will return to the earth as it was, our fleshly body. And it says, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And Luke 8:55, one more on this, and it says, then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. Her spirit returned to her, and she rose up. And we know that term resurrection in the Greek means to stand up. Because where are we in the grave? We're laying down. And resurrection means to stand up. And I found some interesting things. You know, there's a lot of people in the world know about this verse that pointed out that man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. And they said, well, you know what? I think I'll just have my body cremated, and I'll have it cast to the wind or throw it into the ocean, and you know, God can't find it, and I don't have to worry about it. But there's only one problem with this idea, that God is able to reassemble a body which has been created. His power is not in doubt when it comes to something like that. He can do it. And if we stop and think, you know, when the flood occurred, I've read books that said the population of the world before the flood was millions and millions of people. And we can just, and you can read over there before the flood in Genesis, and it's talking about so-and-so lived 700 years and begat so-and-so, and he lived 800 years and begat. And there's names of the people in Genesis there. And there's, you know, Adam and Eve. Where are they buried? You know, when that flood came in Noah's time, if they were buried in the ground, well, there's no telling where all the minute particles of their flesh that had turned into dust, as it says, that the body returns to the earth, to the dust. Where are their bodies at today? You know, there's miles and miles of sedimentation up on this earth today. Grand Canyon, we can see all those layers exposed, and different formations. And there's fossils on top of Mount Everest, even. And we know that the earth went through a traumatic change, and so these bodies that were in the graves before the flood, where did they all dissipate to? Well, God can take care of that. That's not a big deal to him. And so trying to escape the judgment by cremation is no way to escape your ultimate fate. And another thing I think is wrong with this idea of cremation is the attitude is when I'm dying, I'm done with this body. I don't want it anymore. It's no good. It wore out. But that's not the idea that I believe that's placed forth in the Bible. You know, God's people, we can read in the past, they always buried the bodies of their loved ones. You know, they'd buy a cave or they'd bury them in the ground out of respect, because they demonstrated their belief that the resurrection was going to happen one day, and they wanted to be doing things with respect and hope that God had promised them. And in Genesis 23, it says Abraham bought the cave of Machpelah to bury Sarah, his wife. And then Genesis 49, Jacob said, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. And there they buried Abraham and Sarah, and there they buried Isaac, Rebekah, and there it says, I buried Leah. And remember in Genesis 50, the story of Joseph over there in Egypt, and he's telling them that, you know, God's going to help y'all out. Don't worry about him. He's going to bring you out of this land, because he promised these things to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and just be patient. But he took an oath from those children of Israel there, and he said, I want you to carry my bones out of here when you go and take me to this new land of Canaan. And in Hebrews 11, demonstrates this hope of a resurrection, a better resurrection. Hebrews 11, verse 22, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and there he gave instruction concerning his bones, and that they might obtain a better resurrection, is what the idea was. And we see throughout the Old Testament that cremation was something that was usually practiced by pagan worshipers. Amos 2:1, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. And so that's an idea of what God thought about this situation. And of course, there is a kind of interesting story there in 1 Samuel 31. Remember the Philistines had whipped those children of Israel and Saul and his three sons and killed them. And there was what these Philistines were going to do is they're going to take the body of Saul and his boys and put them in that temple of Astaritis, that female goddess that they all worship. And but anyway, they found out what's going to take place, and so these people here, out of respect for the body of Saul and his boys, they snuck in there and they took those bodies away from them. But they were in a oppressed and bad situation. But anyway, the Bible says in 31 and 13, they took their bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabez and fasted 7 days. But when they took them out of the Philistines' position, the Bible says they burned their bodies. I think the reason they did that, the Bible doesn't say anything approval or disapproval about this situation. Just kind of gives an account of it. But to keep from these Philistines putting Saul and his sons in this temple, they destroyed the evidence, so there was nothing left for these Philistines to put in there. And and burning Saul's body was not a matter of economics in those days, for sure, as it is, seems like, today. But one thing they did is they didn't grind up their bones or scatter the ashes. They put all the bones in one place under that tree, and they buried their bodies in respect. And this idea of cremation leads to the idea of not thinking the resurrection is going to happen, because when we are resurrected, we're going to recognize one another. And so we got to look like we do now. I don't know if that means we'll be 18 or we'll be 80, but we will no doubt be what God decides that we will be. And I believe we'll quit right there. And Casey, you got anything?
I'd just like to ask a question. I think I've asked you before. There's the idea that body and the bone.
Flesh and bone.
The flesh and bone. Mm-hmm. So that's just a phrase, though.
Yeah.
It's not, our spirit won't have bones.
No.
Okay, we won't have bones, veins, anything, blood, or anything.
See, right now the Bible says blood is the life of the body. In the flesh and bone body, it says the spirit gives us life. That's why it will be immortal, can't die, won't get sick, tired, hungry, etc. All right, it's time. Terry? Well, that's a frightful thing, that Hebrews, I can't remember, is it 12 now?
9:27.
9:27, that's a good one. Point of man wants to die, but after that, we're all going to have to be judged. This time we'll have a song of invitation, and